This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Green and White, brought to you by Argyle Life. Just a public service announcement. This is the pilot. We'll see how this goes and we'll tweak it and we'll go from there. But this time around, we're aiming to bring you something a little different, bringing you, the fans of Plymouth Argyle, into the forefront of our output as we interview a whole host of Argyle supporters from across all four stands of Home Park and beyond, ranging from international greens to local stalwarts, relative newbies to lifelong season ticket holders and everyone in between. There are a host of people from different backgrounds who make up the Green Army, so here are just a few of their stories as told by themselves. After that, we'll run through their Argyle 11. It won't be their best ever 11 or their favourite. There's a few twists and turns and a few rogue questions, a randomizer, and an opponent will feature, but it will form their very own unique 11, listed in their own formation, and of course include whichever former Argyle manager they like. Or the current one. He might get in there on a few of them. We think this will be a joyous ramble through Argyle history. So if you do like what you hear, let us know and we might just get you on. Joining me today on this pilot episode of My Argyle Life is Nick Tomlinson from PAFC Displays. How are you, Nick?
Yeah, I'm good, Aaron. Thanks, yourself.
I'm good. So start us off, for people that don't know who you are, introduce yourself, who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so my name is obviously Nick Tomlinson, and I basically in the face of PFC Displays at the moment at Home Park. So we deal with all the pitch side flags that you see, any flags within Home Park. It all comes through us. It's all fan funded. So everything that we do, flags and displays related, is all fan funded, and I coordinate it with a group of guys and girls that we've got. There's probably a core group of about 6 or 7 of us, but we're always looking for volunteers and we're always looking for more people to get involved on a more permanent basis. So if anybody out there is listening that wants to get involved, then give us a shout on Twitter. It's at PFC Displays, you can find myself on Facebook, and PFC Displays is on Facebook as well. So if you want to get involved, just give us a shout and we'll see what we can do. But yeah, we deal with that on a match day, basically. All the big flags, all the big surfers that we've got, that all comes through us, and we organise it with the club and make sure that everything runs as smoothly as we can before kickoff.
So going through those, obviously, I think anybody that's visited Home Park will be aware of the increased presence of flags, tifos, atmosphere. What's been your favourite display?
Oh, good question. We've done quite a few. So I think my favourite one was probably the very first one we did back in the... I think it was the playoff game, a playoff game against Wickham, or I can't remember if the Exeter Derby game was before that, but there was the very first one we did was very, very similar. I think the very first one we did was unbelievable, because at the time we didn't know how well it was going to work. We didn't know everyone would join in. We didn't know, you know, if it was just going to look absolutely rubbish, but it turned out everyone got involved and it looked brilliant. And from there, we did a few more. But yeah, we've kind of stepped away a little bit from the plastic tifo sheets at the moment, because it's just the clear op as I said, we're looking for people to help all the time. Lots of people will get involved in sticking it out, which is great. But when it comes to staying after the game, especially against the Wickham game, for example, in the playoffs where we lost, nobody wanted to hang around and pick things up. They just wanted to go home. Equally, when we win, so if we do a T4 and we win, people want to go out and celebrate. No one wants to stay behind and help pick sheets up. So that's the kind of thing we're looking for, really. Some people with a little bit more commitment that can give us a hand in get all those things cleared up. But we've moved away from plastic sheets and moved more into the plastic banners. So it's the same material, it's just a longer piece of material, and we can make some banners and wording. Obviously, we've got the gigantic Devonport M flag. It didn't come out last season, but we're hoping to get that one out for next weekend against Southampton, providing the weather holds up. So if it's windy, we can't do it. If it's wet, we can't do it because we can't dry them out. So the weather needs to be relatively calm and dry, and we should have something special for that one.
Nice. So what you're hoping for is a nice, dry, sunny draw.
Yeah, just dry. It doesn't have to be sunny. As long as it's dry and relatively calm on the winds, then we'll be happy with that. We can do it.
I was going to say, we're recording this in August and we're hoping for it to be dry. So that's an anomaly in
it. It's not bright, is it?
It's also taking you to Wembley, right? You were behind the displays pre the... We won't really talk about the 4-0 defeat, but what's it even called? The Papa John's, that's it, the Papa John's trophy.
Is it still the Papa John's this year? I thought they ended their sponsorship, but what formerly was Papa John's.
Yeah, yeah. So how was it to get that run out at Wembley? Not many people got one of those.
So we only did half of that display. So the actual flags that were on the seats, that was part funded by the clubs, both clubs, and part funded by the EFL. So that was their part of it. We arranged to take the 8 big waivers that we had down the front. So we had the green and white flags with the green and white crests on. And we also took the We Are Argyle flag as well. So luckily one of the lads has got a decent size rank. He's a painter and decorator. So we were able to get the We Are Argyle flag into that one and drive it up to Wembley. It was, like I say, just communication with both the club, the EFL and Wembley themselves. And everybody were really good. Everyone was brilliant. We were able to do it quite smoothly. We got a little bit of support as well from War Flags up in Newcastle. So they obviously had the League Cup final. Was it the League Cup final or was it a semi-final?
Yeah, they were just a week before, wasn't it?
Yeah, they had the League Cup final just before. So they had a lot of information that they had, which they gave me loads of time in advance. They even set up a separate WhatsApp group with us so they could share all that information. So we were well aware, well in advance of all the potential stumbling blocks that we had. So it's just being organised, really, and making sure that we've got everything, all our ducks in a row and everything ready to go. Even down to the last week, I think there was some things that we were still trying to get polished off. For example, the We Are Argyle flag, it doesn't actually come with a paper certificate, like it's fire certificate. So Wembley were insisting on having a paper fire certificate. So we had to go back to the suppliers to say, look, we need this because otherwise we can't use it. But yeah, eventually we got all the information we needed and Wembley were good as gold. That was a surreal experience walking through the inner depths of Wembley and being pitch side at Wembley was quite an experience, especially when that pre-match when the Janus song was being sung and there's 40,000 Argyle fans there. It's just incredible. I mean, hairs on the back of my neck were on end. It's absolutely brilliant. But that's the kind of perks that we can get if people are helping with us, because if people are helping with us regularly, we go to Wembley and do something like that, we're going to need more people. So if people want to get involved in things like that, then give us a shout.
Last real question about PAFC displays. Obviously, we're looking forward to the new Jana banner. Talk us through that one.
Yeah, so the idea stemmed really from from Gordon Sparks, really. I mean, when we lost Gordon, it was a bit of a hit to everybody. And we wanted to have something that we could remember him by. And at the same time, we thought, well, there's lots of other club legends that have entered the club, left the club. You know, there's players and coaches, managers that are still at the club, you know, that we want to incorporate and we think should be recognised as well. So we thought, well, what can we do? So we're taking a bit of inspiration from obviously the Jana song as well. We decided to call it the Jana banner, as well as a couple of other flags that we've got. So we've asked James Colonel to make some flags for us and do some designs. He's done two so far, which is the Mike Cooper one and the Shuey one. We're going to get those made bigger as well. So we're going to stick those on actual poles. So they're going to be good size flags, 3 meters by 4 meters or 2 meters by 3 meters, something like that. So they'd be decent size. And we're going to get some others made up as well, and hopefully we'll be able to sell smaller versions of those as well for people that may want them.
Your involvement with Argyle doesn't end there, does it? Obviously, you've managed to sponsor Nance for the season.
Yep, that's right. Yep, Nance does lots for us. Over the last couple of seasons, he's a massive, massive advocate of what we do. He's even given some of his time to help with some of the TFLs that we've done. So he said, he may come out and say, I've only got 20 minutes, but literally the bloke will run around block. He was running around block one, sticking sheets on seats, and it was unbelievable. He's got a couple of shirts signed for us. He's doing it again this year, so keep an eye out for the raffles that we're doing with signed shirts to try and raise cash for displays. So Nance has got those. He's going to get those signed up for us.
Yeah, nice. It sounds good. So obviously, moving on to you then.
Yeah.
Talk through your first game, the team, the opponents, your first memories of home park.
Right. So this is tough because I don't actually remember my first game. My dad started taking me when I was 4 years old. So for me to remember my first game is almost impossible, but it's kind of, Argyle's always been there. It's always been in my life. It's something that I've grown up with. I can't think of a definite beginning of when I first started following Argyle. So it's, like I say, it's been part of my life growing up all the way through. So unfortunately, I can't answer that one. But my earliest memories of going to Home Park would be a FA Cup game against Derby in the 90s. And sitting over in the Lyndhurst, I had a season ticket with we started off having a season ticket over in the Mayflower, in the standing area. Used to sit me on the cross barriers that were there. Then we moved across to the Lindes for a while and had a season ticket over there. But yeah, it's been one of those, really. It's just been always part of my life. It's just something that I've grown up with. So to actually nail down an actual game, unfortunately, I couldn't tell you. We think it could have been a Derby game against Exeter, but we're not actually sure.
Run us through some of the fixtures that stand out in your mind. Obviously, you mentioned there that the FA Cup game against Derby and that, but what fixtures and players and goals really stick out in your mind?
I mean, fixtures wise, it's the one that stands out, the couple that stand out the most to me in the earliest memories I've got would be in the 95-96 season, the playoff final season. I was a mascot that year, so I was a mascot against Wigan and we won that game 3-1. I always remember walking down the tunnel and Neil Warnock coming down the tunnel and saying, hopefully you give us some luck, lad. And we won 3-1. So that was obviously I gave some luck there. And in the same season, that playoff semi-final against Colchester, that game was Colchester, wasn't it? Doubting myself, man. We'll double check it and then I'll say it again. So it was Division 3 at the time, wasn't it? Yeah, it was Colchester. I was right. So after all that, I was right anyway. So obviously we needed to win that game after, I think away goals counted then as well. So we went up there. I think the first leg was 1-1. We came back down here and took an early lead from Mickey Evans, and then Kinsella scored an absolute screamer for them. He did it in the first leg as well. Scored an absolute screamer for them, and then obviously away goals counting double, they were in prime position, and then late on we win it to go to Wembley. Pitch invasion, Warnock on the in the director's box. It was just, yeah, brilliant, brilliant memories.
Talk us through the best goal you've ever seen with your own eyes.
Best goal that I've ever seen at Home Park.
Wherever, just Argyle related.
So I think, opposition wise, best goal I've seen at Home Park, one that always sticks out in my head is Bawatsa's goal for Watford in the FA Cup quarter final. That was an absolute thunderbolt from absolutely nowhere. They didn't deserve it. Ben Foster had the game of his life. But yeah, that goal always stand out for me. Possibly along with Scott Sinclair's goal, where he ran pretty much the length of the pitch and stuck it in the top corner. There was Mickey Evans's goal where he took the quick free kick off the keeper and into the net. A bit of quick thinking from himself. There's been so many to choose from over the years, but yeah, I think those are probably two of the main ones. And obviously, you got the header at the back post in the semi final to send us to Wembley as well with Peter Hartley. So yeah, there's loads of that you could choose from, but I think those are the main ones for me that stand out.
So before we leave Home Park and we talk about a couple of questions about away days. Talk us through a typical match day routine for you then. Any rituals? Obviously, I'm aware that your match days differ.
Yeah, so match days for me are a busy, busy day. I tend to leave my place at about 10 o'clock, half past 10 to get to the ground. And that's not because I'm just keen to get there. It's because we've got lots to sort out. So all those flags that we have pitch side are stored on top of the turnstiles in the Devonport end. So we have to get all those cleared out before people start coming through the turnstiles.
Right.
Even if we're not going to use them, obviously they need to be cleared before people come in. So we have to get all those out, put them pitch side. It takes a little while to do that, especially when you're on your own doing it. Sometimes we have a couple of guys who come in and help. They tend to get there a little bit later, and we get some of the more tasking stuff, like actually putting flags in the stands. So we use blocks 6, 7, and 8. So we'll put 60 flags in there now as well. So they'll do that for me. And then if we are using one of the big flags, it's then getting that out of the storage bag that it's in, making sure it's the right way around, and making sure that we don't send it up in look fools and be backwards like we've seen some clubs do, or the wrong way round or something like that. So we try and make sure that we get everything spot on and ready to go. Normally finish that probably about 1 o'clock. And then by then it's just back into either the GTs or sit in the stands, have a beer and underneath and just get patiently ready for about 2:30, where we start to do our business of handing flags out and getting people pitch side.
Sounds good. So obviously away from home park then, talk us through your earliest memories of away days.
Yeah, so I think my very first away day was with my old man when I was a little bit younger. I think it must have been about 7 or 8. It was a pre-season friendly at Torquay. I don't remember much of the game, to be honest. I must have only been, about 6 or 7. So it's quite a while ago now, maybe 30 years ago. So I don't really remember much of it. But in my late teens, finishing school when we were in the champ, I was quite lucky that I was in sixth form when we were in the championship, just towards coming out of sixth form and starting an apprenticeship. So I had a lot of time where I could actually go to away days and things like that. So Tuesday night games, especially, I just book a bit of time off work and go. I remember doing Charlton on a Tuesday night where we won 2-1 with Barry Hales and Ebanks Blake scoring. Danny Mills scored for Charlton, ball at the post, hit McCormick on the back of the head and went in. I remember that. It was just gutting. But like I say, we went on to win that game anyway. That game was a nightmare to get home from, because I believe Arsenal were in the Champions League on the same night, and the M25 was absolutely chocker, more so than it normally is. Everything was gridlocked. I don't think we got onto the M25 until like gone midnight. And then we didn't actually, our coach didn't get back to home park until about 7 o'clock in the morning, at which point I just went straight to college. There was no point coming home. So that game will always stand out. There was obviously, we did QPR on a Tuesday night as well. So there was quite a few. We did Watford away where David Norris scored in the last minute. So yeah, there's quite a few away games in that championship time where I went to, which will stand out for me as well.
Moving on then, favourite ground that you visited with Argyle?
Oh, favourite ground. That's a tough one.
It could be due to the fixture, it could be due to the magnitude or the opponent, or
probably favourite ground is probably going to be the Emirates, I would say, because there's just that was, for me, that was the first proper Premiership ground that I'd ever been to, and just walking out and seeing how big that stadium was at the time and compared to what we were used to and what we were going to, I think that for me will stand out quite a bit. And obviously Stamford Bridge as well, with the history of the club and the history of Chelsea there, and and the players that have played there and things like that, I guess would stand out as well. But yeah, those two definitely stand out.
Yeah, I believe that we actually still hold the attendance record, the away attendance record of the
Emirates. Yeah, I think you're right, I think we do.
Yeah, they gave us too many tickets. It was the year it opened, right? So
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, but we'll take it. We'll take it. Small little records in the history books that we don't usually populate. So we'll take those. Before we move on to your Argyle XI, we'll take a quick break and we'll jump back on.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Jumping back on for part two, this is the bit that I'm most excited for. Nick, it's time for you to name your all-time Argyle XI. And as we said in the intro, this won't be your favourite players or even the best players to grace Home Park. We'll provide an 11 that is uniquely yours. So can you just let everybody know what formation you're going to play?
Yeah, I've gone old school. I've gone 4-4-2, just because I like to have two strikers and I just prefer to go forward and back. So 4-4-2 for me.
4-4-2. And just, we'll get onto this later, but can you just let everybody know which position you've asked to randomise?
I believe it was centre mid.
Brilliant. We'll call it randomisation for this, but I think we might call it shoey roulette in future episodes. We'll call it now. Why not? So start us off then, Nick. Who is the best player you've ever seen play for Argyle and why?
For me, it's Graham Carey. I think the bloke just literally got you off your seat, got you excited. Some of the goals he scored were just outrageous. The goal against Blackpool, for example. I mean, I've been told, I wasn't at that game, but I've been told that it looked so much better when they were in the stand to what it did on the TV and things
outrageous.
Like this. So, I mean, that strike is phenomenal. And the bloke was brilliant. So, yeah, Graham Carey, for me, the best player that I've seen in Argyle shirt.
Most players would do that 1 in 100 times, but I would back Carey to do that 20 out of 100 times.
His free kicks were just outrageous as well. So, yeah, definitely for me. I think we had him at the right time of his career as well. I think he was just in his prime, and I think he left at probably the right time as well. So, I'd go with Carey.
Yeah, going off to, was it Bulgaria? No.
Yeah, CSKA, wasn't it?
And then, you know, popping up and scoring against Roma in the Europa Conference, you know, it's a weird but good career arc for him as well. So Graham Carey kicks us off. I assume he's slotting in at left mid.
Yep.
Brilliant. And then next up, we pick your captain. They don't have to have worn their captain's armband during their time at Argyle, but they're captain for you.
So my captain was Mickey Heathcote. Captain the side at Wembley, the only time we've won at Wembley. I had, when I was obviously back in 96, I must have been about 7 or 8, I had him on the back of my shirt, number 5 on the back of my shirt. It was my favourite player then. So, yeah, it's got to be Mickey, commanding at the back.
So, big centre-back, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's good. Sounds good. So, Mickey Heathcote. I'm just making a note of these, so because I will forget. Started very, very strong. So, you've told us your best. Your third pick has to be the worst player you've ever seen in an Argyle shirt. And I appreciate this might be a harsh question for some. And I can imagine a few people on Twitter will be like, oh, that's, you know, you can't be that harsh. You can't call somebody the worst player you've ever seen. But we don't care. We just want your worst player that you've ever seen.
So this one, he was a loan signing in our championship days. And he was a young French lad who was highly, highly rated. And he came on board on a, I think it was a half season loan or a season long loan. It went by the name Nicolas Marin. He was useless. I mean, I remember him coming on against Sheffield United and away. We lost 2-0. James Beattie scored a brace. And he was just a waste of a position. He came in, everyone hyped him up as if he was going to be the next big thing. And I think he must have made about, I'd be surprised if he made more than 5 appearances for us. He was just awful, really bad player. Just couldn't travel with the ball. He just, as a winger, he just couldn't do anything. So that's who I've gone for as the worst player.
Yeah, nice. Just done a quick Google on Greens on the screen. Obviously, everybody will know Nick Marin for his bleached blonde hair, I reckon, more than his ability. But obviously, joined on a season-long loan from French side Lorient. With a view to a permanent transfer. So we're glad we didn't make that permanent. Are we going right mid?
Yeah, I've gone right mid with Nicolas Marin, yeah. I seem to remember him bombing down the right-hand side, or trying to bomb down the right-hand side and not really getting anywhere.
So he is your worst player. Next up is a player that you thought was underrated during their time with us.
So I've gone for a left-back in David Worrell. So back in Paul Sturrock's time, I think himself and another centre mid who I'm going to name Stevie Adams. I think the pair of them were extremely underrated. But for me, I mean, at the back of the Devonport and where I sit, we all really like David Worrell. We had our own little David Worrell fan club, basically, at the back of the Devonport end. So I think I'd be told off if I didn't pick David Worrell for most underrated.
So you're picking him not just for yourself, but for...
For the group of lads that I sit with as well, yeah. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, you know, anybody that comes in and plays, you know, over 150 appearances must have something about them anyway. Okay, David Worrell, we'll move on. So one player, I don't know if I sent you this, I might have changed this earlier. One player that you've met slash had the best interaction with.
So this, yeah, you did send me this. This was a tough one because there's a couple of players, two players in particular that I could have gone with for this. One being Mr. Danny Mayer. And the other being Mr. Conor Graham, both absolutely brilliant, brilliant blokes. But I think because of the story with Mayer, it has to be Mayer. So my niece is she's been going Argyle for the last couple of years now. She's seven, and her dad's a Liverpool fan. They took her to on a stadium tour of Liverpool at Anfield, and when she was in the dressing room, the tour guide asked her who's your favourite player, and she said Danny Mayer. When we came back to Plymouth, she was a mascot and she did the same thing. She went into the change room and I told Danny this story and he wet himself laughing, you know, to had a photo taken with her and everything like that. And then the last home game of the season last year against Burton, we were in the Green Taverners game after the game and she turns around to me and she says, I want to ask Danny Mayer to come back to Nana's house for a Chinese. And she wouldn't let it go. She was just constantly asking. She wanted to ask him for a Chinese. So I said, come on, we'll go and try and find Danny. So we went back into the ground just on the off chance that we might bump into him. And it just happened that he was in the players lounge at the time. And one of the other lads, I think it might have been Joe Edwards, actually, was just outside the players lounge. And I said to him, is Danny in there? Would he possibly be able to pop out quickly? And he said, yeah, I'll go and grab him. So fair play to Joe. He went and got him and he pulled him out. She asked her a question. He laughed and just, you know, it was really good with her. He's brilliant with her. Turned around and said, look, I'm sorry. I don't think my wife would allow it. But maybe next time. He was absolutely brilliant with her. And then he stopped and had a photo done. And I stood there and had a chance and had a chat. And I had a feeling then that he wouldn't be signing because of some of the things he said to me there. Something like some of the grounds that you're going to be going to next season are going to be fantastic. So I had an inkling then that he was off. But so for me, Danny Mayer has to be the player that I've had the best interaction with.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely lovely as well. And I don't think we've ever been as blessed with a group of players and staff and everybody associated with the club that are just nice people, you know, like everybody just seems like they've got a heart of gold. And like you said, they'll go and do anything for anyone, like even just the interactions on social media from like you say, John Woods and everybody just seems top class. So yeah, Danny Mayer slots in, I assume, at centre mid.
Yeah, of course.
You're not going to randomise his position.
No, he can sit there in centre mid. That's not a problem by me.
Nice. So moving on to the randomiser then, as we said earlier, we'll call it Shoey Roulette. As I told you before we started recording, Nick, in the test, you got Carl Fletcher and Ronnie Mojay. I will run through the names in this list that you've got. I think I've been pretty fair to you. You've got Conor Hourihan, you've got David Fox, you've got Ronnie Mojay, you've got Steve Castle, you've got Lillian Nallis, you've got Carl Fletcher, you've got Luke Summerfield, Dom Blizzard, Gary Megson, Steve McCall, Lee Cox, Ollie Norburn, Laji Sakuna, Dean Parrott, Chris Billy, and Tumani Diagaraga. So you've got quite a broad mix there.
Yeah, it's quite a mix.
What we'll do is we'll draw two, and then we'll let you pick one. So we're not going to be completely harsh. Although it's landed on the same name. You've got Ronnie Mojay as your first one out. So not a bad start.
I'll take that for one.
I feel like it might be him if we draw something.
Could well be.
Definitely going to be, because the other option is Dean Parrott.
Yeah, I don't think there's much of a choice there, really, is it? Ronnie's scored the only winning goal at Wembley, or the only goal we've scored at Wembley, in fact. So I think it has to be Ronnie, unfortunately. Sorry, Dean.
I'm absolutely fine. I think that's fairly obvious that Ronnie outshines Dean. So then we move on to the opposition player, one player that you've seen at Home Park, or at an away game, just an Argyle game. One player you've seen at an Argyle game you wish Argyle had signed or would make your 11?
So I tried to look at this in terms of a league game rather than like an FA Cup game, because you could have picked any of the Arsenal squad, you could have picked any of the Chelsea squad, pretty much. So
that would have been the best way, I reckon, yeah.
Yeah, so I tried to look at it from a league perspective instead. And the one player that I'm looking at my team sheet that I've got here for the 11, I've got a centre-forward position open. So the only player that I really wish we could have signed back then, which we would never be able to afford anyway, would have been Andy Carroll. The two goals he scored against us to relegate us and send Newcastle back to the Premier League were brilliant. I mean, just what a player he was at that level. It was a joke. He should never have been at that level. So, yeah, for me, Andy Carroll fits in there.
Yeah, nice. And from Andy Carroll, we move on to you picking the rest of the squad. We do give you some leeway here.
Yeah, so I think there's only three positions left.
Who's up top with Andy Carroll?
So there's only one person you can play up there when you talk about Argyle strikers. It's got to be Mickey Evans.
Yeah.
I mean, the bloke's a local legend. He's done it all. He won, was it Premier League Player of the Year? Is a Player of the Month in between two absolute legends as well back in the early 90s. I can't remember who they were now, but it was two absolute legends. And I think he basically kept Southampton up that year. Mm. And then came back to us and scored a hatful of goals for us again in the second spell. So for me, Trigger's got to be in there.
Yeah, good shout, Trigger. You've got three positions left. So you've got a goalkeeper, you have a right back and a centre back. Let's go with your goalkeeper.
Romain Larrion. Simple as that for me. For the amount of years he was at the club, I think it's about 10, 11 years he was at the club. It just sensational performance all the way through his career at Argyle, and loves the club, still has a big affection for the club now. So yeah, for me, Romain gets to that spot.
That's a great pick. I think I'd be torn between Romain and Mike Cooper. I think I'd be very torn.
Yeah, I mean, for me at the moment, I mean, Mike Cooper, don't get me wrong, Mike Cooper is probably going to be the best keeper this club's ever had. But at the moment, he's only four seasons in, as opposed to what Romain did over 11 years. So I think at the moment, Romain takes it for me.
Moving on to your right back then. Who have we got there?
Paul Connolly.
Good shout.
I thought he was superb for this club. I remember his debut against Brighton, where he scored a spectacular own goal. But after that, it was plain sailing for him. And I think he went on to have a fantastic career as well. The goal against Brighton was just a fluke. He just on the halfway line, stretching under pressure, and just lofted it over Romain Larrion and into the net from about 45, 50 yards. So, it was a freak own goal. And from there, I don't think he really looked back. I'd struggle to pick any bad games that Paul Connolly had after that, really.
Would have been an absolutely lovely finish if it had been in the right net.
100%. It would have been a wonderful goal.
And to complete your 11, who are you slotting in at centre-back alongside Mickey Heathcote?
Christian Timo.
Good shout.
The bloke was just a walking brick wall. Won everything in the air, put everything on the line to the point where he even fractured his skull one game. I don't think he was the same player after that, but I mean, he was superb, absolutely. You know, if you wanted one player to stick his head on anything, he was the man you'd go to.
Yeah, I think Timar walks into my team. I know this isn't about me, but I think, like you said, apart from after the injury, you know, he didn't seem to want to put himself about as much. And obviously, he had a couple of spells away as well and never really found his form again, which is a great shame. But that is an absolutely brilliant 11. Moving on then, who have you got to manage this side?
This was a tough one because there's been quite a few decent managers that we've had in my time watching Argyle, but I think I'm probably going to go with Paul Sturrock in his first time round, in his first time at the club. We were just phenomenal back then as well. I know Shuey's had a great year last year, and he had a great year the year before as well. It's, I think, Paul Sturrock for me. That's who I'd choose at the moment for this 11. Shuey could quite easily in the next season or two take that well away from Paul Sturrock, but I think for me, Paul Sturrock.
Yeah, I think Luggy is a sensational shout to manage this random mismatch of Argyle history and nostalgia.
Plus, it's 4-4-2 as well, so Luggy are like a 4-4-2.
Exactly. You picked the perfect man for that. So before you go, let's just run through that quickly. Obviously, Nick's all-time Argyle XI. Definitely not his all time. But Nick's My Argyle Life XI reads as Roman Lario in goal, Paul Connolly at right back, Christian Timar and Mickey Heathcote at the centre back, David Worrell at left back, Nicholas Marin as his worst player he's ever seen in an Argyle shirt on the right wing, Danny Mayer, who wins best interaction at centre mid alongside the randomised Ronnie Moshe. Graham Carey is the best player he's ever seen at left wing or left midfield as we're going for a 4-4-2. And up top, partnering Mickey Evans is Andy Carroll. Now that is a random as they come. And I am a big fan of that. And managing those is Paul Sturrock. I think that's a good 11. Are you happy with that?
Yeah, I'm happy with that. With the constraints I was under, I'm happy with that, yeah.
Yeah, I think as this goes on, I'd like to do like a little league table, see how everybody gets on, give the Twitter and Facebook fans a little vote to see who wins what. Maybe we can do like a World Cup at the end of the season. Before we go then, Nick, there's two finishing questions. So the first one is a bit all-encompassing. The first one is, what is Argyle to you?
Argyle to me is a community. I go to the club and I see the same people every week. I have conversations with the same people every week. And it's different conversations with different people. So obviously doing what I do, I have people. I speak to people regularly at the club who work for the club. I have conversations with them. And they're fans just as much as we are. So I have conversations with them all the time. And it's interactions with people and things like this. It's being part of something bigger than yourself, which is what I like.
Last but not least, where can people find you and your output, and how can people help PAFC Displays?
Yes, so our Twitter handle is, or X handle, whatever you want to call it now, is at PAFC Displays. We have a website which is just simply www.pafcdisplays.co.uk. We've got a shop on there which we sell stickers, towels, mouse mats, cushions. There's all sorts on there which you can purchase through the website. All the profit raised from those purchases goes back into PFC Displays. So there's everything that we do around the club is fan funded, and that's how we fan fund it, is by selling the stickers, selling the towels, even golf towels we've got in there as well. So there's lots of things in there that people can purchase to support us. But yeah, we're contactable through the website as well. And we try and get back to people as quickly as we can as well. So there's no delay.
Thanks for joining us, Nick. And hopefully we'll get you on a regular pod again sometime soon.
Yeah, no worries. Love to.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Cheers.
That's the end of another episode of Green and White, brought to you by Argyle Life. Before you go, please make sure you drop us a review on whichever podcast platform you are using. And make sure you follow us on Twitter at ArgyleLife1886. Cheers.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.